Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things I have kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard this saying, he went away very sorrowful, for he had great possession. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard this, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With man this is impossible, with God all things are possible. Jesus quoted 5 of the last 6 commandments to the young man, also the second great commandment, on which the last 6 commandments hang. Those mentioned he thought he had kept. Jesus did not mention the first 4 commandments containing our duty to God. In answer to the inquiry of the young man, What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. What was his lack? He failed to keep the first 4 commandments, also the last 6. He failed to love his neighbor as himself. Said Jesus, Give to the poor. Jesus touched his possessions. Sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. In his direct reference, he pointed to out his idol. His love of riches was supreme. Therefore, it was impossible for him to love God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind. And his supreme love for his riches shut his eyes to the wants of his fellow men. He did not love his neighbor as himself. Therefore, he failed to keep the last 6 commandments. His heart was on his treasure. It was swallowed up in his earthly possession. He loved the possession greater than God, better than the heavenly treasure. He heard conditions from the mouth of Jesus. If he would sell and give to the poor, he should have treasure in heaven. Here was a test of how much higher he prized eternal life than riches. Did he eagerly lay hold of the prospect of eternal life? Did he earnestly strive to remove the obstacle that was in the way of having a treasure in heaven? Oh no, he went away very sorrowful, for he had great possession.
Let us pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, once again, most grateful and thankful to give us an opportunity to get you this time to gather you, Heavenly Father. As we prepare this program for your people today, Father, we pray that as they listen, that their hearts will be glad of the information that is shared. They will not walk away sad like the rich young ruler, but take the information and see what is needed to be done to not only for them to prepare our lives, but for all of us to prepare our lives for your soon return. When time and us should be no more, Father, we pray that we, along with our families and our friends, be able to meet you with joy and gladness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome our regular listening audience this afternoon and say a special welcome to those of you who might be listening to us for the first time. We will continue to study the Ten Commandments, and more specifically this afternoon, Thou shalt not steal. We will try to go into some greater depth on that subject. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to give us a call at 322-6273. We have persons manning the phone right now to deal with any question or comment that you might have. If you want to write us, you can write us at P.O. Box N8993, or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. Or you can visit our website, where we have articles written by Brother Paul and by Brother Renwick, and past programs that we have had, and links to other interesting and Christian websites. And there's also a health segment on our website. And that website is www.tpministries.org. Now, before we get into our discussion on Thou Should Not Steal this afternoon, once again, we're going to ask Brother Paul to give us an update on those things that he has read in the newspapers that he's found interesting and to show its spiritual relevance. Go ahead, Brother Paul.
Thank you, Brother Julian. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. But there are a whole lot of stuff that's in the news this week, from murders to child being molested and all sorts of stuff like this. And one of the things that struck me in the newspaper once again this week, like last week, was the National Health Insurance Plan. Well, on Tuesday night, if I'm not mistaken, it was that our Minister of Health, Dr. Nottage, made a national address trying to clear up some of the do's and the misunderstanding of what it's really going to be with this national health plan that the Prime Minister tabled in the House of Assembly last week. Now, you know, last week, if you listen to the program, I gave you 5 scriptures to study during the week to show you that what we truly need is not really a national health plan, but a national health subject, teaching us how to live healthy, that we'd be able to better live our lives free from sicknesses and ailments and stuff like that. One of the scriptures I gave you last week is Genesis 1:29, Genesis 3:17-19, Psalms 104:13-14, Leviticus chapter 3:17, and Leviticus chapter 7:25-27. This week I will share with you 4 more scriptures that I do another part on this, living healthy. One of the most exciting texts to living healthy is coming from Exodus chapter 15:26. Unsaid, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do all those things which are right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon you, said the Lord, that I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's a very powerful scripture, and that's a promise given to us from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then in the New Testament, 3 John verse 2, there's only one chapter, behold, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And then there's a very strong view coming from the Apostle Paul, the book of Philippians, chapter 3:17-19, which I think is the root cause why most of us are sick today. Brethren, be not followers of me, but mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk of whom I told you often, now I tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mine earthly things. And that's exactly what the problem is today, ladies and gentlemen. Our bellies have become our gods, and we're eating those things that are forbidden according to Leviticus chapter 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 14. Those things from the water, the Bible is quite clear, should have fins and scales. Those things from the land must chew the cud and split the husk. And God was so nice, he ran out to name the birds that we should eat. And that's the reason why men are sick today. Their bellies truly have become their god in the late stage of its history. And today they are dying from all sorts of diseases, just like the Egyptians, according to Exodus chapter 15:26. And then Ecclesiastes chapter 7:16-17. Ecclesiastes 7:16-17 says, be not righteous over much, but neither make thyself otherwise. Why shouldest thou die, or why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Verse 17 says, be not over much wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Once we reject the counsel of the Lord, we can truly die before our time. Because the Bible is quite clear that God has given us 70 by reason of health. And in reason of strength, he will give us an extra 10. So today, why don't we follow the counsel that was written our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And surely we can live healthy lives right now before time should be no more.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. Ladies and gentlemen, well, like I said before, we are still dealing with the commandments. And this afternoon, we'll be dealing with thou shalt not steal. And we will attempt this afternoon to show the broadness of thou shalt not steal. Brother Paul, if you're talking this week and so forth about thou shalt not steal, and you mentioned a couple of businesses and professions that you will show to us this evening, how they are stealing from God's people and the people of the Bahamas. How do doctors steal from the people, Brother Paul?
One of the things I think is going to, in the judgment, I think the law is going to go very strong in the doctors. Most doctors realize that most of the medicine they prescribe for us when we get sick, these medicines don't really heal us. And what the doctors really surely be doing for as much money as they be making based on these different things that they do when they take care of us is they should be now doing research to find out, for example, why we are sick. For example, do you realize that when you are chewing a gum, if you should chew a gum from your breakfast to your lunch, and from your lunch to your supper, the food does not start digestion, and then that to contribute to colon cancer, and that poor food, when it becomes poison, it goes into the bloodstream and poisons the system. These are some of the things the doctors should be telling you. For example, I remember when I had a few years ago, I had bleeding ulcers, and I'll never forget Dr. Nima, who's now passed away. He sat down with me, and we did all kind of tests trying to figure out why is it that my stomach was bleeding. Simply meant that I went to the bathroom to have a pass. Instead of I passed my waist, I passed blood. And as he began to sit down and talk to me, he showed me how the stomach worked and still trying to figure out why is it bleeding on the inside. And he said, do you eat this? I said, no. He said, do you drink this? I said, no. He said, what religion are you? I said, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. He said, oh. So it's got to be something that, because all those things that you should not be eating, you're not eating because you are a Seventh-day Adventist. He said, what time do you eat breakfast, young man? I said, well, I don't eat breakfast. He said, that's your problem. Breakfast is very important. And all doctors realize that one of the things, at least they should realize, especially those that are in the area I think he called himself a gastrologist, if I'm not mistaken, some of that effect when they're dealing with gas in the stomach. And just because I was not eating breakfast, I had bleeding ulcers. And the day ever since, I followed his instruction that I eat my breakfast every day. I make sure I eat a good solid breakfast. My bleeding ulcers has healed. And I didn't take no medication from him. He didn't offer me no medication. He offered me medication when I first went into his office. But when I walked away, just following the instruction of Dr. Nimhard, today I'm living and moving, have my beans, simply because I followed the instructions. And that's a good doctor. That's the type of doctor to be looking for. They're not a doctor who's going to have us on high blood pressure pills for the rest of our lives. And I truly believe when Jesus Christ comes, the doctor stand before him, he's going to ask him, did you really follow your profession to the T? Did you really go and do research to find out why these people are suffering from high blood pressure and diabetes and all these sorts of stuff? And if they can't give an answer, he's going to hold them accountable for every dollar that they collect from the poor people and the rich ones alike when he returns.
Brother Paul, I have to ask this question. Are you suggesting that we don't visit our doctor?
No, I think it's very important for us to visit our doctor. Even right here on this program, we tell you that whenever you're going to go on a good health plan, it's very important for you to visit your doctor or go for that normal exercise, that you visit your doctor to make sure that you're in the best of health. For example, when you go to your doctor, if he's a very good health care provider, most of them in the Bahamas really are, they will do a high blood pressure check and check your glucose and different things like that to make sure that you're in the best health when you go on that early morning walk. So doctors are very important. And when you go to the doctor, you're going to go for your checkup. And he's going to give you a clean bill of health. If he should tell you your blood pressure is high, then most doctors are now telling their patients to follow the prescription written in Leviticus chapter 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 14. Don't eat those foods that are high in cholesterol, like your pork, like your conch, like your crawfish. When God gave the prescription long ago, but we are listening to ministers of the gospel that, you can eat whatever you want to eat. As a matter of fact, while I'm on this point, a few months ago, I had shared with you that there's a minister of the gospel that was on the radio about 3 months ago that said, all meats are now clean. But I have a sad update coming from that church. Two members of that church have already died from a heart attack. And one of the ministers who co-anchored that program and that airs every week, I should say, to make sure I don't get mixed up, that person who comes on just before that minister is now suffering from a heart attack. Thank God he's still alive. Don't listen to these ministers that tell you that all meats are now clean. The Bible is quite clear. Leviticus chapter 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 14, all meats are not clean. And Leviticus, like I told you last week, Leviticus chapter 3 verse 17 tells you that whoever eat fat or blood, they should be cut off. That's Leviticus chapter 3 verse 17, Leviticus chapter 7 verse 25 to 27.
You know, one of the things that we often hear today is that, the scriptures that you quoted from Leviticus, people would say, that was just for the Jews, or that was just Old Testament times, that doesn't apply to us today. But the Bible doesn't say that. And matter of fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture. And all scripture that is given by God, we should love it, we should take it into account, and we should use it as a guideline for our lives, including, the dietary instructions that the Lord gave us, looking back at those scriptures that Brother Paul quoted. So, us as believers, we have to, look at the Bible in its full context. It's the Lord doesn't only just give us instruction for our finances or just for our marriage, but, there's also good instruction in there with regards to our health and our dietary lifestyle. So we need to take all of those things into account.
Thank you very much, Brother Renwick and Brother Paul. Now, the other one that I have here on my sheet is insurance companies. How does insurance companies break this commandment, Brother Paul and Renwick?
I'd like to make a quote from our health minister, Dr. Nottage. He made a very serious comment here in his address to the nation. He said, too often, I'm quoting Dr. Nottage right now, too often we found that those who need it most, when they need it most, are deemed as uninsurable, an upsubstandard risk, and a substandard risk by insurers and cannot buy insurance. He also said, another thing he said here about the insurance company, okay, I'm quoting him again, for me as Minister of Health, this is discriminatory, unfair, and ungodly, amen, but what happens with insurance for a profit, he said. Now, that is true. Should not these people be turned over to the police department? I mean, I thought insurance was for everybody. If these men are, if these insurance companies are only in for profit, and if they are discriminatory, if they're not for, because the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. You read that in Acts chapter 10. If God is no respecter of persons, and I believe most of these people working in these insurance companies are Christians, how come then, and they say this is a Christian nation, then how come the insurance companies are discriminatory or taking on board who they think they should be taking on board? I think these people should be turned over to the CID department and criminal justice should be brought against them, ladies and gentlemen. This is out of order. Another thing that hurts people, the insurance company that they're going to give an account for in the judgment is, it's been brought to my attention, I can have a life insurance policy, and if I miss a few months, and I should die missing a few months, if I stand to be corrected, I would not, my family would not collect no benefits. After paying for all those years, ladies and gentlemen, insurance companies are going to stand in judgment. I hope some insurance agent is listening today. Some Christian in the insurance company say that this is out of order, that this man been paying insurance from when he was 20 years old, he died at the age of 90 or 100 years old, and he missed two or three payments. And all those benefits of hundreds and hundreds of dollars he contributed over the years all turned to naught simply because he missed two or three payments. Something is wrong with that, ladies and gentlemen, and I assure you that when Christ comes, they're going to give an account. And no wonder our health minister said, this is ungodly. If it was ever time you needed an amen on that, I mean, the whole of Bahamas should have said amen when he said it on TV that night. Because a lot of families can come in the studio and testify to the fact that their family member died with missing two or three payments, or their insurance collapsed, and when they went back to try to renew their policy, the insurance company said, no. They just run away with God's money. Because see, they think the money is theirs. It's God's money. God gave it to his people to give to you to try to help them out in time of need. And when they came looking at you for in time of need, you pushed them aside because they missed two or three payments. Ladies and gentlemen, this is some serious stuff. And the time has come for these insurance companies to be held accountable, if not now, when Jesus Christ should come in the clouds of glory.
But Brother Paul, I think a lot of people might agree with you on that way when it comes to insurance companies. However, let us look at another institution that we all are part of, I think, somehow, somewhere, and that is banks. How do banks, Brother Paul, break this commandment?
One of the sad things about the banks, Brother Julian, is this is most banks that I know of, at least I don't know of any, that once you miss one or two of your payments, let's take, for example, you've been paying for your house for about 30 years, your mortgage for like 40 years. Most banks that I know of, after you make them payments for 30 years, if you're on a loan for about 40 years, by then you should have already paid off all the interest. So right now you're only paying whatever they call that. I don't know what they call it.
Principal.
The principal, Brother Julian. I know you pay the interest first. So if you already paid the interest and you're now paying on what you borrowed, the 230, 40, the 100,000 or whatever, then why is it, because you lose your job and you're trying to find a job, you know jobs sometimes in the Bahamas are hard to find, the bank puts you in your house or put it on the market, I mean embarrass people, put them in the newspaper and stuff like that. God does not work like this. God is not in the embarrass. How would the bank officials feel if you put them in the newspaper saying how they mistreat you? Banks have to come to the... As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, the Bible gives a principle on loans. I think it's 7 years, if I'm not mistaken.
7 years,
yeah. After 7 years, if the person does not pay you off, the loan should be written off. But today, you know, people the banks are loading down people with loans, knowing that people can't pay the loans, and at the end of the day, when they can't pay the loan, they take the people out of the house and throw them out in the streets or whatever, God forbid. I mean, is this a trick? And it has to be a trick. Could it be the banks are setting people up for a downfall? And I mean, if you are a bank agent, you should know when a person has crossed the limit. You should be able to see through the eyes of Jesus, hey, this person can't take no more. Don't give them more loans and stuff like that in order for this person to find themselves homeless at the end of the day.
But Paul, what about the company that provides electricity to the Bahamian people, BEC? In your opinion, or in your study, how did you find that maybe BEC might be breaking this commandment?
Well, Brother Julian, when I think about BEC, if the gas goes down, I never hear BEC tell us our light bill goes down. And they always talk about this surcharge. I'm trying to figure out,
the gas that we use in that BEC or the diesel, whatever we use, is it coming from a different place? Is it coming from the same place it was coming years ago? I'm trying to figure out here. Yes. Well, why is it, as a matter of fact, at my house where I'm living now, when I first read it, I think my light bill used to be like in the $800 range. Now my light bill, now if I use all the accessories that are there, it comes to like $400 a month. So how did it jump from $80 to $100 a month to $400 a month? And if I don't pay, as a matter of fact, thank God, one lady from BC called me one time, she done just about to turn my light off, praise the Lord. And the Lord, and she said, as a matter of fact, I had to call a lady back and say, do you know me, miss? She said, no, I don't know you, but your name was came up on my register, and I just want to warn you, if you're coming down, to shut you down. And I was able to go into BC and pay my light bill, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for that lady. The Lord, tell her, just call my number. And I had to call, I said, you know me? She said, no, I don't know you, sir. So your name just showed up, that this is going to come shut you down because your bill is beyond what it should be, and you need to come in here and do something. And I went on that show, enough, they worked with me, and I was able, my life was able to stay on. So I'm just trying to figure out who's looking out for who here. You see, because here again, BC, the people who work in the area of, the engineers, they should be trying to figure out how we can best serve our people here in the Bahamas. All of us are poor, from poor families, ladies and gentlemen. They should be trying to figure out left, right, and center, what can we do to bring the light bill down so our people can have the best means of light at the most favorable and cheap rate. If it means even bringing in some whatever, I don't know. They know, I don't have to know how to, but I know there's something the engineers them could do if they would just go do their homework. And here again, the Lord's going to hold them accountable.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. And we can go to the other institution, the other utility company, BTC or Patelco, depending on on how you want to call it.
Well, the thing with BTC is this, you know, if you were listening to the news, they just run a lot of commercials saying that if you don't pay your bill by, November 24th, that's the day, or November 24th, right? They're going to turn all your phones off and stuff like that. Well, you know, BTC is holding a $200 deposit on my cell phone. My bill was only $25. I'm trying to figure out, you mean, truly, if I didn't pay that balance on last week before the 24th, you really believe BTC would have turned my phone off? They hold a deposit of $200. I only owe them $25. And if I didn't pay that, they said they're going to turn my phone off. Something is wrong with that. Because they're collecting interest of the $200 the Lord has blessed me with, and there's nothing I can do to get it back. I'm just trying to figure out here, if BTC is looking out for the customer, and if the money that you're holding for the customer is more than what they really owe, why do you want to shut their phone off? Why don't you just take it out of the money that you're holding and hope that they'll just pay it back? These are just some of the things I want to think about. See, all these people that sit in the management positions of these companies, someone have to be a Christian. Someone have to be standing up for those who are less fortunate. Everyone in the Bahamas wants to pay their bills. I don't think there's no one in the Bahamas who don't want to pay their bills. If a person can't pay their bills, not because they don't want to, they really, truly don't have it. Very few people in the Bahamas are living beyond their means because most of us ain't making no money anyway. Most of us only make maybe $250 a week, if that much. Some of us maybe even make it only $200 a week, if that much. So I'm just saying that these companies that the Lord has raised up to help us out in modern technology need to work with his people. I mean, thank God they said you got to come and sit down and make it a work out a payment plan here. But then still, I mean, you think I'd work out a payment plan for $25 if I couldn't find it? You wouldn't got a payment plan. I was just trying to, what kind of payment plan can you work out for me for $25? You know? So, I think this thing, the disclaimer could have been a little bit more refined here. Because I had to find the $25, and thank God the Lord blessed the $25. Because I truly believe what the commercial said, if I didn't pay, the phones could be turned off. And thank God I was able to bless me the money.
Brother Paul, what about pastors? How do pastors break this commandment, Brother Paul?
In one area, the pastors are breaking this commandment, Brother Jones, that they're not telling the members the truth. The pastors, for example, this is supposed to be a Christian nation. And most of the people who work in popular places in this country are in unions, right? Now, if I'm the pastor and you call me down to talk to the union people, first of all the Christians need to get out, because there's no Christians should be in the unions. All Christians should know by now that God fights the battle for you. The Lord says, stand still and see the salvation of God. All Christians should know that seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all the things that are needed shall be added unto you. All Christians should know that they should take no thought for tomorrow. But these are not the things the pastors tell us. Plus, pastors are doing all sorts of things. For example, conferences. We have a conference just for everything now today. And through these conferences, they're raising funds in order to do what? Are people coming back more? Are they coming with the truth? Are these people told at these conferences that the commandments of God still stand sure and the Lord know them that are his? Are they told the reason, the real true reason why the world is in chaos? It's simply because the pastors are not doing their job. They are called to preach the word in season and out of season. Pastors also called to give an answer for what they believe. I remember the Julian visit a couple of months, much pastors, and they was not able to give us an answer why they keep Sunday. We've asked them to show us, I mean call us, and they have not able to show us from the Bible why they keep Sunday, why they bring people to church every Sunday, or why they tell people they could eat pork and they could eat cow. They are stealing, ladies and gentlemen, and at the end of the day, God is going to hold them accountable. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks for you to hope that be within you with meekness and fear." So why is it when we ask these ministers of the gospel why they do the things they do, and why they teach their members the things they do, why is it they cannot give us an answer? Simply because if they give us an answer, they'll know themselves stand against them. Matter of fact, I remember one particular pastor, Brother Julian, that you're familiar with. He wrote an article in the paper, say, about 2 years ago, where he was trying to proclaim that Sunday was the Sabbath day. And one day he had Zenith, while we were in the waiting room, this minister came in, and Brother Julian introduced me then, because Brother Julian knew him real well. And I asked him, I said, "Why did you do that?" And you know what he told me? He said his mom rebuked him for writing that article, because Sunday is not the Sabbath, Saturday is. I said, "Well, why are you on that note, Pastor?" I said, "What is your conviction on the Sabbath day anyway?" And you know what he told us? That every Saturday, him and his family keep the Sabbath day. I said, "What'd you say?" And I said, "Did you tell your members?" And he said, "No." And right now, ladies and gentlemen, this minister have his church members and himself in a debt. I don't know the exact figure, but they were not paying for a big business building they just bought to start a new church. But he believed with all his heart that Saturday is a Sabbath. If this is not stealing, tell me what it is.
Now, Brother Paul, this one, I don't know how we can deal with this, but how do gas wholesalers, that's the wholesalers now, not the retailers, not the pumps, the big boy, how do they break this commandment?
I put it right back to what I said, but on BEC, is the gas coming from a different place? As a matter of fact, the Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything in the world belongs to the Lord. So how come the gas companies could be going up on the gas prices and the gas is coming from the same location? They are stealing, ladies and gentlemen, and be assured when Christ returns, they will give an account.
What about the government, lawyers, and the people?
Well, the part that hurts me more with this one, government, lawyers, and people as well, the government, lawyers, and the people they have a plan scheme where if you don't take care of your property and someone go and camp out on it, I think they call it
squatting?
They call it squatting. That someone can go and squat on your property, and if you're not paying close attention, and when they run their ad in the newspaper, I think that's how they do it, if you don't pay attention to the newspaper, you can find out that your property is taken away from you. Well, something is wrong with this. And then the judgment, the government, the lawyers, and the people are going to give an account. That if I go to Russia for 4 or 5 years and I don't be paying attention to my property, when I come back and ask for thinking I have a piece of property, my property has been taken away because the government have a law that enacted that if you don't do the right thing, property can be taken away, and they use the lawyers to work this out. And people know something is wrong here, ladies and gentlemen. At the end of the day, they're going to give an account, the government, the lawyers, and those who do things like this. As a matter of fact, I know one minister who did this just the other day. Ladies and gentlemen, shame on him.
What about drugstores?
Well, all drugstores know that. I'm talking about the ones that send the medicine now for your high blood pressure, and they know that these drugs do not heal us, ladies and gentlemen. So if these drugs do not heal us, if these drugs are poison in our system, then why are they selling poison to us? All doctors will tell you that the drugs that the drugstore sell, that the pharmacy sell, that you got to get a prescription from the doctor, they know that these drugs do not heal us. As a matter of fact, some of these drugs even cause us more sick than we ever were. That's why the doctor will ask you when you return, did you have any side effects? Or are you allergic to this? Or are you allergic to that? So if they know that these poisonous substances they are selling are poisoning God's children, something is wrong here. Here again, they too need to be reported to the CID office.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul.
Let us pray. Most kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to speak to your people, to the nation today, and to share from your word. We ask that your Holy Spirit will go forth and bless all those in our in the sound of this broadcast, and continue to lead and guide us all into your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
AM 1540, Saturday's Wanted Answer. You've been listening to the program.